Welcome to Mint, the podcast equipping you to run the race of faith well. On this show, you can trust that we'll dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways to live out its truth. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus today, so let's be salt and light together. I love hearing from you, so send me a message with any questions, feedback, or victory stories you might have from the podcast. In addition, in the show notes, you'll find a link to my website, which has bonus content, free resources, Mint merchandise, and gives you an opportunity to sponsor the show. We're listener funded, and we're so grateful for those of you who partner with us in the mission. Let's go run the race, friends. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here with me for the next few minutes, diving deep into God's Word and talking about practical ways that we can live it out together. I have two, not one, but two special guests on the second half of the show today, so I hope that you will stick with. I know that you are going to enjoy both of them. We are talking about the fruit of the Spirit goodness today, but before we begin, I just want to give a quick reminder that our new website is up and running, and we have all kinds of good stuff on there. We have merchandise available, hats and shirts and mugs, drinkware. We have free practical resources, so if you find yourself wanting more and wanting to dive deeper into each of the topics on this show, you can go on to those pages and partner with us on the journey to keep walking out your faith. That's at amintageisler.com. So check that out. And if you are willing, I just want to ask a little favor when the show is over. We would absolutely love it if you would be willing to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app. That helps us out. It helps us become more visible. It helps give us credibility. And so I'm just going to humbly ask at the beginning of the show today if you would take time to go onto the podcast app, wherever you listen, and leave us a great review. Thank you so much, friends. Okay, back to business. We are in the series called Abundant, and we are talking about all the amazing fruits of the Spirit that we get to experience when we have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us and transforming us from the inside out. And so today we get to focus on goodness, what Holy Spirit-filled goodness is and how we can walk it out in a world that is becoming morally bankrupt. We need the goodness of God now more than ever. So let's talk about it. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for who you are. And we give you these next few minutes. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come, that you'd give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and hearts that are courageous enough to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we have gone through many of the fruits of the Spirit so far. So if you've missed one of them, if you want to pause and go back and start at the beginning of the Abundant series, you can. But we have already done love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and now we're doing goodness. So we have three left after this: gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But today is all about goodness. And per usual, we're going to start with the Greek word that is used in Galatians 5. And the Greek word for goodness is pronounced agathousune, agathousune, which translates as to an uprightness of heart and life. An uprightness of heart and of life. It's a lack of evil. But it's not just being morally upright for the sake of being called righteous or for your own personal benefit. In the Bible, goodness is for the sake of other people. It's selflessly acting on behalf of others with things like giving to the poor, visiting the sick, praying for your enemy, confronting sin. And Christ is our most amazing example of this, right? Selflessly acting on behalf of others. He died on the cross for the sins of humanity so that we might get the benefit of eternal life. And, you know, all fruit of the Spirit, and especially goodness, is not a quality that we can manufacture on our own. This is not something, friends, where we just wake up in the morning and we're like, I think that I'm going to be good like Jesus, and I'm just going to pour myself out and die on a cross today. I mean, these are things that we actually need the Holy Spirit inside of us to be able to do, because living like Jesus, pouring ourselves out for others, sacrificing for the good of other people is hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. And so we need the Holy Spirit from us, because God is the author of goodness. He's the one that created it. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from the Father in heaven. He gives it to us. Everything good comes from him. He's literally the definition of it. In fact, in Exodus 33, Moses asks God to see his glory. And God responds with this. You know, Moses says, God, show me your glory. And I'm thinking, if I ask God to show me his glory, I'm thinking he's going to show me how big and how awesome and how powerful and how amazing he is, right? I'm going to see like the angel moment. And God in response says, and as I'm flipping to my Bible here, Exodus 33, God in response says this, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. Isn't that interesting? Moses asks to see God's glory, and God says, I'm going to show you my goodness, and I'm going to make it pass before you. And then he explains it in Exodus 34. He says, I am the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger. I'm filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I don't excuse the guilty. He's just. That's his definition of goodness. All of those words are relational, nurturing words. All of those words are for our benefit, that God showers it on us, his goodness on us, even though we don't deserve it, right? And so goodness is a little bit like holiness in a way that God is so good and he's all good. There's no evil. He's set apart. And it's a little bit like justice too, in that justice, the definition of it is to abhor evil, to hate what is bad. And God does that as well. So goodness is in the realm of those words. And in Genesis 1, verse 31, we see that God created the world and everything in it. And he said that it was good, right? And man was made in his image, and he said that it was good. And in Psalm 23:6, it says, surely his goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And then in Romans 8:28, this is a real popular verse, right? God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. So in God's presence, there's no bad. Isn't that an amazing thought? It's all good. He works all of it for good. There's no such thing as bad or evil destruction in the presence of God, because his goodness is so big and it's so deep. It's so vast. It's so amazing. His goodness knows no end. And friends, his son Jesus was like that too. I'm going to flip really quickly to John in the New Testament, John chapter 10. And there's a great description. Jesus explains in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. There's that word again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. And there we see that principle of doing something good for others, that sacrificial for the good of others. It says in verse 12, a hired hand will run if he sees a wolf coming. He'll abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he's not their shepherd. And so the wolf will attack and scatter the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and he doesn't really care about the sheep. Verse 14, but I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for my sheep. That's Jesus. He loves us. And that's the gospel, right? Jesus laid down his life for us. And you know what another word for the gospel is? Good news. So here you see this theme of God's goodness run from the very beginning of the Old Testament when God reveals himself to the very end where Jesus comes to save us with his goodness. And we can be filled with the goodness of God too. And I'm not talking about goodness like Christmas cookies are good and those are good, right? This is a different kind of goodness than Christmas cookie. And I'm not talking about that when God comes into our life, everything becomes good and we live a perfect life and it's free of hardship and trials and suffering, because that's not what the goodness looks like either. And I'm not saying that when we have the goodness of God in us, then we have to be perfect, because that's not what it is either. It's not about striving to just not do evil so that people will think that you're good. That is not what the goodness of the Holy Spirit does in us. It is an overflow of the Father's heart running out of us onto other people. So that selfless love, that selfless act of putting other people first, that's going to flow through us and out onto other people. And I just want to take a minute before we get to the practical application and acknowledge that there seems to be a shortage of goodness in our society today. Everywhere you look, it's easy to find moral rot and decay and selfishness and division and envy and slander and rudeness and violence and sin. And that's just the news, right? Not goodness. There's an abundance of darkness. Good is no longer the norm or the standard or even like the goal for most of society, and it's heartbreaking. And goodness is increasingly under fire. So we need to be ever more intentional to create space in our hearts for the Holy Spirit to produce goodness in us so that we are not like culture around us, but we are actually producing that Holy Spirit goodness in a world that is dark around us. And that is hard. It's not easy because it seems like the evil is everywhere. And, you know, when it surrounds you, it's so easy to let it influence you or let it discourage you or let it overwhelm you. But for us to be eyes on Jesus and filled with his goodness that it might overflow with us there. I have 6 practical tips. And then when I'm finished with these, I'm going to welcome my 2 awesome guests to the show. But I just have 6 practical tips for us. And the first one is this, and we've talked about this with a few of the other fruits of the Spirit, but doing a heart check and checking what's going on in my heart, actually, what's happening in there. And I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. And I'm going to read something that Jesus said. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, he's talking to the Pharisees. How could evil men like you speak what's good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. So we have that word goodness in there. And that's why we got to do a heart check. Is there goodness in our heart? And how do we check that? Well, what's coming out of our mouth? Do we have goodness coming out of our mouth? Are we speaking life to the people around us? Or do we have areas of our heart that have become selfish or bitter or maybe focused on ourselves? Or maybe even we've allowed some impure thoughts to sneak in there. And so we have some evil in our heart taking over the goodness. And the Lord said there in that passage that from whatever is in your heart is going to spring out of your life. And if we want to have good fruit, we got to have a good heart. And so the first thing we can do is check our hearts and say, man, what's in there? And how do I know what's in there? What's coming out of my mouth? Am I speaking goodness? Am I speaking life? Is what I'm saying edifying to other people? Or am I speaking negativity? Am I speaking death? So that's the first one. The second one is found in Luke chapter 6, as I flip there. And this one's all about being intentional to love and do acts of love with hard people. Isn't that just the very definition of goodness? Matthew 6, verse 27 says this, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good." There's that word. "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back." Man, this is a high calling. Do good to those who hate you. And that really does take the Holy Spirit into us. I don't know about you, but when someone is mean to me, my first inclination is not, gosh, I should bring them a plate of cookies and just pray a blessing over their life. I hope the Lord blesses them and their cruel, wicked heart. You know, like, no, that's not my natural inclination. And so we need to be intentional in those hard moments to say, okay, what can I do here to show the goodness of God? How can I show the goodness of God in this situation? I have a real life example in the ongoing saga of my daughter, Olivia, who's a dancer, and her teacher, Greg, who's so mean to her. Her last day of class was yesterday, and she had a really hard day. She sent me a text, and she's like, "Mommy's being so mean today." I'm like, "You can do it. Just pray through it." And she told me after that he'd been so awful to her, and she walked up to him at the end of the class, and she had a Christmas card for him because it was the last time she was going to see him. And she gave him the Christmas card with tears in her eyes because it had been such a hard class, and he had been so mean. And she said, "Merry Christmas, Greg." And he gave her the card, and he wouldn't even look at her in the eyes, and he said, "What's this for?" And she said, "Well, it's a card for the end of the year." And he just had like no response. He never looked at her. He never said anything. That was it. But that is goodness. That is my daughter choosing to pour out blessing over somebody who doesn't deserve it. That's the goodness of God. And it is only possible through the Holy Spirit, because I just wanted to punch him in the face. But that is not what we are supposed to do. And so if you need a check on how you're doing, or if you feel like, oh, I don't really have anybody who's offending me, just go on social media. Spend 5 minutes on Facebook and someone will offend you. That's all that you have to do. There are so many heated topics out there right now. And so then when that happens, then that is a great opportunity for you to pray a blessing over that person or send them an encouraging message and be good to them. All right. Tip number three, check what's influencing you and put up safeguards, right? 3 John, I'm flipping to that. It's at the very end of the Bible. 3 John, and there's only one chapter, verse 11 says this, "Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they're God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God." It's right there. Don't let bad examples influence you. So we have to make sure that we're being intentional about the things that we take in, right? And I talked about this with the students I get to work with all the time, and it's the phone, right? And if you want to have someone roll their eyes at you, talk about putting their phone away, and you will get the eye roll that you are looking for. But the phone is such a powerful influence, and the amazing teenagers of this generation are really the first ones that are having to navigate this, because those who came before them did not have phones like they do right now. We got to go home from school and shut off what was happening at school. This generation does not get to shut it off. It is in their face all the time. And there are so many more forms of influence that are available because of the phone and because of the computer and what's available on there. And so we have to be careful. We have to put up safeguards about what's influencing us. And you know what? There might be times we have to go through and cleanse what's on our phone. And we might have to unfollow certain people that are not being a good influencer. We might have to block people that are not putting out good messages. Or we might have to put software on our phones and our computers so we don't accidentally navigate to sites that have junk on it that we do not need to see. Because the junk will come and find you. You don't even have to go looking for it. So we have to be intentional to stop the junk, even if we're not out there looking for the junk. But I think it's just important that we do that, because garbage in, garbage out, right? So if we want goodness to pour out, we got to stop the amount of garbage that's coming in. Number four is pray for others. I'm going to flip to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Oh, there I went flying right past it. 1 Timothy chapter 2:1-4. It says, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way so that the kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior." Did you even realize the word goodness is in the Bible so much before today? "This is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." So friends, if we want to have goodness flow out of us, we need to spend time praying and interceding on behalf of other people and praying for other people. This is the very definition of goodness. And we can do this for other people who are maybe discouraged or not at a great place in their faith walk, or maybe have never been taught how to pray. We can stand in the gap and intercede, and we can pray for people. And that is the goodness of God pouring out of us. Okay, number five, not only do we need to safeguard against bad influences, but we need to input and put in the goodness. And you know what I'm talking about, and you know what I'm going to say. Read your Bible. The goodness and the truth needs to go in if we are going to have the goodness of the Lord flow out. And it is like getting a vitamin shot into your arm of goodness when you read the Word of God, because that will transform your heart and your mind, and the good stuff will come out, right? So if you want examples of goodness in your Bible, turn to Esther. Read Esther. She's a great example of goodness. She was placed in a position, and then her people were in danger, and she could have only cared about herself, but she put her life on the line to save an entire group of people in Esther chapter 4. That is goodness. Or King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles. He brings the goodness back. God's people had gone astray. They'd let idol worship come in. They were not worshiping God, and he is the one good king in a time when nobody else around him literally was good. That's what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles. And he cleansed back the temple and the culture, and he made it for the goodness of God. So those are some great examples of stories we can read to fill our minds with this idea of putting ourselves on the line for other people. And then number six, plan acts of goodness. If you flip in your Bible to Ephesians 2, chapter 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us to do." God has good things planned for us to do. And so we need to be intentional. Put it on your calendar or your planner. Put it in your phone if you have to. Hey, do my act of goodness for today. Reach out to somebody. Be an encouragement. Send a card. Send a text. But make room for the Holy Spirit to use you. Because if you're busy, it's more difficult to hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm not trying to give you a to-do list and make it all about effort. This is the Holy Spirit producing the fruit in our lives. But we can do our part to surrender and to seek and to make space for the Holy Spirit to come and use us. And that's what this practical section is about. Not a list of to-dos for you, but just a way that you can posture yourself and prepare yourself for the Holy Spirit to fill you and use you for the goodness. All right. Now to the favorite part, the guests on the show. We have two amazing teenagers here today. They're going to talk about their faith and what it's like to try to live out goodness as they navigate it in the world around them. So welcome to the show, Miley and Ty. So glad you're here.
Hey.
Hello.
Good to have you both. Okay, in full disclosure, we love Miley and Ty a lot because they're our kids. They're Annie and I's children. And so, Miley, let's start with you. You're Annie's youngest. How old are you?
I'm 15.
All right. And you are in what grade at what school?
Ninth grade, and I go to New Life Academy.
Awesome. And why don't you just tell everybody kind of what activities you are involved in?
Hockey, soccer, and golf.
Awesome. Okay. That's super fun. Do you have any, for our listeners, do you have any good or silly or funny stories about your mom? We're all ready to hear about the real Annie as a mom.
Well, whenever like I get home from school or like my dad gets home from work and we just want to kind of rest and like watch TV, she's always like, okay, like let's go clean the garage or organize something. And it happens like every single day. So that's kind of her.
Annie, you don't let your family rest at the end of the day? I love it. That's what it's really like. But, you know, I get it. I think my kids would probably say that I'm the same way. All right. Now I'm going to welcome to the show Ty. Ty's my son. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, Mama.
Why don't you tell everybody how old you are and where you're going to school this year?
I'm 18, and I'm a senior at Spring Lake Park High School, but I go to University of Northwestern.
Awesome. And what activities are you involved in this year?
I'm in track, and I was a captain of a cross-country team at my high school.
Awesome. Okay, and do you have a good or funny, very nice and kind story about your mother that you would like to share with everyone?
Yeah, so I'm pretty much ready to throw you under the bus here. but there's this one time when we were growing up, and my little brother Zeke, had been born, and she was pregnant with my other little brother, Truett. And Zeke had a really bad fever, and so when everything started going wrong and everything was breaking and he was, you know, really struggling, she took his what we called a bup. It's like a sippy cup, and she threw it and unintentionally broke the window on the other side of the room. My sister and I were quite surprised and in shock. So we had tape on that window for a couple years. And that was also my room at one point.
Thanks, and Ty. So, appreciate it. Yep, yeah. Let's all just have grace here and remember the key that mom was pregnant when this happened and hormones are a bugger. So
it's okay, Mom. We all get mad sometimes.
Yep, okay. So that's a fun. Thank you so much, Ty, for sharing that story. All right. Now we're going to dive into the good stuff about goodness. And Miley, let's start with you. What would you say is maybe one of the toughest things about being a Christian and just living in the world today?
I would say pressure and influence with like everyone around you and who you're like being surrounded by is a really big part in like your life and who you are as a person.
Do you feel like a lot of the influence that's around you is not good influence? Or do you feel like you've been able to find people that are good influences?
Recently with like my new school and my new friends, it's been more positive and good. But I have, like, public school is definitely different. So I feel like I have seen the other side of that. So,
where there's a lot of negative influence.
Yeah.
And was it hard to kind of navigate that?
Yeah. I mean, just, like, it was a really big difference between, like, my faith and then people that don't have faith at all. And seeing that at my school now with people that I can actually relate to, it's just a really big difference.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Ty, let's throw that question at you. What would you say is the toughest thing about being a Christian?
I would say the toughest thing about being a Christian nowadays, especially as a teenager, is, one, the, you know, nobody accepts truth anymore. There is no truth. And so, you know, with all these kids that aren't being taught that there is one absolute truth that we can find in the Bible, all these kids just don't even give authority to God or even to, like, what would be considered truth. So sin is just kind of allowed to be present in everybody's lives. And while there's good people out there, most of my friends, you know, they are good people, but they aren't, you know, necessarily strong in their faith. There's good people out there. It's just, you know, it's hard to give authority where someone else doesn't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I say, when they question, why would you not do this or not do that? If you give God as an authority of saying, well, I don't do this because I'm a believer, they don't even understand that anymore.
Right.
And I would say that's definitely the hardest part.
And I think you've had, you know, we got talking a little bit with Miley about the power of influence and the people that you're surrounded with. And being in a public school, you've seen firsthand how many negative influences are out there. And just to kind of bring it real, let's talk about that football game. And I think you were in ninth grade. Do you remember what happened there?
Yeah. This is kind of an awkward story for me to tell, but I'm completely willing to tell it. There was just this one football game. Where I was standing in the back, back section
team.
Of the bleachers with, you know, some of the people who I knew, you know, but, there were some guys who had some, you know, things pulled up on their phone, some pornographic pictures, that type of stuff pulled up on their phone. And it was more so just dismissed as, funny and not really like a terrible thing to do. Like just the loss of the standard there was, you know,
right.
It was just a bad situation overall in general. And so I kind of developed a disliking towards the, you know, student section crowd that
and
year.
Sitting there just because yeah. that was what was happening.
Right. Especially
and so you had to remove yourself.
Yeah. And especially being a kid who was known to, you know, try to do the right thing. And being at his ninth grade year, there wasn't really much maturity there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we haven't really developed that mutual respect until, you know, later years in high school.
Right. So there's just a lot of influences now, and I'm glad that we kind of got started on that phone topic, because I think of the phone, and I'm not trying to be anti-phones. I know that everybody's got a smartphone nowadays, but I think the phone is such an avenue for darkness versus goodness. And I think it's just so much more accessible. What would you guys say, Miley, about that? Does your phone play a role? Do you find that there's just a lot of junk on your phone, or do you feel like you've been able to navigate a way to make that be a source of more good?
Yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of time on my phone, so it's hard to like be honest and say that it's more negative than positive, because like for me it is, just because seeing stuff and like influence again, like that's kind of all I'm seeing is just negative stuff, and like it's hard to be on my phone so much and just see bad stuff. So it definitely does play a role in, like, how I treat other people and how I am, like, for myself. So it's hard to, like, see this bad stuff and then, like, find good out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for being honest about that. I know that's a hard question. So I really appreciate your vulnerability there. And, you know, I think the tension, what's hard is that everybody's on the phone. And that's where so much of the social interaction takes place. So if you decide to pull back, you all of a sudden remove yourself from the main social circles. And then loneliness kind of sets in. So it's a hard battle to fight. Ty, what would you say about your phone and influence, good or bad? What about kind of the how it's played a role in your life?
You know, my stance on it being that, you know, I've been, you know, been a journey on my phone. You know, I wasn't always allowed to have social media, that type of thing on it. And so everybody goes through a little bit of growth there. But for me, it's very interesting because the phone isn't necessarily bad within itself, but bad can come from it. And, you know, being the fact that phones have things like cookies on them where, you know, it knows what you want to look at. And just because of that, anything can be heard and anything can pop up on your phone unintentionally. And it's how you deal with that is a very important part of it. But I would say a big thing for me is I choose not to have things like Snapchat. And one measure that I've set for that is, you know, I don't want to be so consumed with things like Instagram and Snapchat. You know, obviously I don't have Snapchat, that I keep my circle too large. One of the things that I do is, and one of the reasons why I don't have Snapchat is because I want to keep my circle smaller. What happens is I feel like with these phones is everybody's so dug into their phone, first of all, they lose the ability to actually have real conversations with others, social media apps are so casual that the effort to actually see how other people are doing is minimal. I know in Snap it's one thing, it disappears, people are just pushing a button, there's a picture, send it to them. For me, because I don't have those things, it forces people to text me and it keeps my circle smaller, because if somebody actually wants to reach me, then they know where to find me. So
yeah, I think it helps you be more intentional about your interactions too, and the goodness that you're checking on other people. And so while we're talking about that, you can totally be honest about this, but with the phones being such a, you know, that's kind of what's coming out in this conversation, is that they can be a hindrance to goodness because they are so influential. And you guys are kind of the first generation to have to really navigate this. But is it helpful when parents, you could be honest, when parents try to help put boundaries, or when parents call you out on it, or when parents put limits on the phone, you can be honest. You can say, no, it's not helpful, it just makes me mad. But do you find it helpful? Because we have a lot of parents who listen, and all of us parents are kind of struggling with how do we help our kids navigate this tool? And we want the goodness in your life, right? But so what do you find when we interfere, when we put limits on it? Have you found it helpful or no? Miley, go ahead.
Well, I do have limits and I think it is helpful, but I think there definitely needs to be some sort of compromise, or just like both people are on the same page, and I think that will make it less stressful and just like more beneficial in the end for the both of like me and my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Ty, how about you?
I mean, I think there's a balance to that. You know, obviously there's a lot that people can access on their phones pretty quickly. And so I feel like if a parent, you know, knows that their kid is doing something on their phone that they shouldn't be, obviously I think there should be consequences there, because, you know, parents are there to discipline their kids. But at the same time, being in a culture that is very technological, it kind of has to be a part of the
right.
my life. So, like, you know, I know that, you know, Ben hates when I'm on my phone,
hates.
But it's more of like an extreme hatred for the phone. But, you know, me and him have to compromise, and we have to come to an mutual understanding that he might not quite understand why I would want to be on my phone. But overall, I'd say the most important thing is just the understanding, again, mutual understanding that it's out of, you know, when you put restrictions or when you're calling each other out on something, it's out of love. And if it's understood that it's out of love, then I think it's taken a lot better than just give me your phone. I don't care what you have to say. Just,
right.
You know.
You know, I think the tension that we all feel with the phones, and I've said it before, so I'm not trying to be a broken record, but this really is the first generation where we're having to try to figure out this tension of the phones are a reality, and it looks like they're here to stay. And if it's the new kind of social norm, how do we navigate it so that it's not blocking goodness? Because I think we can all agree we've seen a dip in goodness in our culture. And I think that it's directly related to this influence and the prevalence of darkness that is now available with the phone. And so I think it was just important today to have an honest and good conversation with the next generation about, you know, how do we, and that maybe that's kind of my last question for you guys, as you think about the phone and how it influences you and you living out your faith and wanting that goodness of God, what do you see as kind of, you know, what one or two practical things do you want to do to make sure or to help you kind of safeguard your own life? You know what I mean? To just think about that for you guys of what do you think it looks like to preserve your heart and your mind so that God's goodness can still flow through you with having this device that our generation hasn't had to navigate before.
Yeah, so I would say for me, what I have to do is, I you know, I want to say limit myself, limiting myself is more so like a, I feel like that's kind of like a cookie cutter answer for most people. The first thing that I do is, you know, if I start realizing I'm on my phone too much, I make sure to put it down and, you know, I'll say, go make some memories. So like, go do something in real life, like do something fun. Don't be lame. Don't, you know, and, don't be in such a hurry to, you know, worry about all the things that are going on, because oftentimes if you are able to set your phone down and go do something, you'll end up feeling a lot better afterwards. The times when I've actually put my phone down or haven't had my phone and I've had to engage in other ways are the times that I've made the best memories ever. And so remembering that feeling is very important for me to be able to like do that.
Absolutely. And I think it brings up a point of, you know, the whole point of goodness is for other people. It's that we pour it out over other people. And I think the danger of the phone is that when we're on our phones, we get stuck in that self culture where we're worried about what are we missing out on? What do we want? What's going on in our world? How are people treating us? How many likes do we have? How many snaps do we have? And it just makes us really self-centered. And I think that's what you've found, Ty, is when you put your phone down and you're out, then pouring into other people, those are the best memories that you're making. And because you're off, you're out, you're other focused, you're not inward or phone focused. Miley, do you have anything that you want to say or add?
I would say, like, since we are still like growing with like this generation, we're obviously still going to be stuck with all this phone stuff. And I feel like what I can do is, if we are still living like this with our phones, that I can like watch what I post and like control how I react to other people's stuff, because that's the only thing I control is myself and how I take things. And then another one would be just like kind of stopping and like refreshing myself and, yeah, like putting my phone down and surrounding myself with people that like make me kind of forget that I even have a phone is probably really important.
That's so good. And I love, love, love what you said in there about what you put out there, because I think that's one really great opportunity that social media does afford. It's not all bad. It's a great platform for you guys to put goodness out there and to let people know that they're cared about and to let people know that there's a God who loves them and to let people know that there is truth and goodness. It is a great platform for that. So I think those are really good observations. And I so appreciate you guys being willing to come on the show and be honest with these two old ladies here, Minta and Annie, who are sitting behind the microphone, but just to share your thoughts and your heart. Do you guys have any last thoughts about goodness that you want to leave us with? It's okay if you don't, but if there's any other last...
Yeah, one thing I just wanted to add, kind of piggybacking off what she just said, is it's very easy nowadays, you know, with texting, and you can DM anybody these days, is you can say whatever you want without having to actually say it to someone's face or like post whatever you want. And so what I would say is just being careful that... you know, you're not purposely trying to offend anybody or make a point to anybody, and staying away from saying something harsh or quickly.
Sure. Yep.
Because it's so much easier to do that nowadays. I mean, you can go into any political post and read the comments, and it is just people flaming other people, and it's just
right.
It's insane out there. And even just little things is like posting, even, you know, if I wanted to post something that I believe in, something that I believe is right, I know it's going to make a lot of people mad, and they aren't even going to have an actual conversation with me about it. So that's why I kind of am, I'm not very pro social media. And I've kind of come to that conclusion, is that even if social media is good for like communication, not actually having that human interaction is super bad, because it gets you to a place where you're already mad and you haven't even had like an adult conversation with that person. And that's happened a lot, you know, a lot at my school. Sure. Too, especially. So
awesome. I think that's good insight. Thank you for sharing that. You know, it's so interesting. We always pray before the show that the Holy Spirit will come and guide the conversation. And it honestly didn't start out to be an interview where we just talked about phones and social media. But I think that was just kind of the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit of, this is a issue in society that's new and it's prevalent, and we all face it because we all have a phone and we all have the influence of the phone. And if we're all going to be overflowing in goodness, we all need to figure out a way to manage the impact and the influence that the phone is having on us, and that what we use our phone for. And so, guys, I just so appreciate, again, thank you for coming on the show and spending time with us today. It was super fun to have you on. You make our mama hearts glad. We're proud of both of you. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that there's no end to your goodness. We thank you that you overflow with goodness and that you pour it out over us. And God, we just ask that as we move on from today's show and as we take with us the scriptures that we heard and the thoughts that we talked about, that you would help the seeds of goodness to grow down into our hearts, that we might be people who pour out goodness on those around us. God, will you help us to become good stewards and good managers of what we take in and what we let influence us, so that we have goodness flowing out of us. God, we desire to bring glory and honor to your name by the way that we live. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to Mint, the podcast equipping you to run the race of faith well. More resources are available at my website, and the link is in the show notes. We'd be so grateful if you'd leave us a like or a 5-star review. Let's do this faith journey together.